I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening, jam-packed with information, as usual. And we'll be talking about the Atlara from Atlantis and their connection to the ascension process, as well as getting into a very valuable inner work technique of changing old beliefs. And time permitting, we'll get into updating some world conditions. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari.
Thank you.
Hari, Hari, oh.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, one of my spiritual teachers, and that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now give my gratitude, thanks, and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience, just for being you, because you're already making the optimum difference just by being you, and others become aware of that when you're doing your passion. And I'd also like to invite listeners to email me with questions concerning any program content that you hear on this program, as well as suggestions for future programs. And nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes with ideas, concepts, and techniques that you learn on this program. And there will be some technique given on tonight's program. And you can always email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. I might also add that information tends to come rather rapidly in this show if you're new to ET Yoga. And many of my listeners have emailed me and have explained that they really appreciate the ability to access the archives of this program so that you can go over material that's presented at your own pace. And the easiest way to do that is go to etyoga.com, which is my website. Also available there is my latest book called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. It's available for $9.95 there online. And I'd also give the instructions there for accessing the archives, which is on the main page. Is a big button there called Radio Archives. So you just go to etyoga.com, hit the one button, Radio Archives. It'll take you to the latest programs. They're usually up at the latest Tuesday after the show on Saturday. I'd also at this point like to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical, big pharma, and technology as much as your situation allows. Now, in preparing for tonight's show, the general theme was connecting the idea of the Atla Ra. If you've never heard about the Atla Ra, they were a certain highly disciplined and evolved set of scientist priests that held the technical wisdom and expertise of managing the crystal power grids back in Atlantis. And the Atla Ra play a very important role in the current ascension process, as it turns out. And to give you a little bit of background concerning the situation there in Atlantis before the what they call the fall, and by the way, that's denoted by what we call All Hallows' Eve or Halloween, because that was the eve before the fall of Atlantis, and that's why we celebrate that holiday. And about 70% of the people that are on the planet right now had previous incarnations in Atlantis. And the same exact scenarios are happening there with different players, but it's the old good versus bad, or the spiritual versus the negative factions. The same scenarios are happening today that happened then. The good news is, as we're told by our extraterrestrial helpers, that this time humanity is going to succeed in at least having an ascension process, which was averted last time. And apparently this is like the sixth time we've reached this point where we're sort of on the brink of destruction or ascension. And in connecting now the Atlara, the vast majority of the Atlara were of the tall golden race, but there were also members from the bronze, white, Lemurian brown, and cetacean races. At that time, there were still avatar-level cetacean dolphin beings that walked on two legs, and these highly benevolent dolphins verbally communicated and breathed air in a similar fashion to humankind. The avatar cetacean were golden in auric projection and are the source of those termed the golden dolphins. The golden dolphins were harbingers of the aspect termed matriarchal as energy that you would term the feminine divine, although they were primarily non-gendered in the physical sexual sense of the present paradigm. The sect of scientist priests were referred to as the Atlara. The Atlara maintained the highest standards of consciousness and were able to continue vibrating at very high frequencies of consciousness at and above the level of 12th dimensional light and energy, remaining very pure and resonant with the true oneness concept of the Creator God. They were sustained in higher dimensional and telepathic contact with advanced space brethren from the Pleiades, the Arcturians, Andromeda, and Sirius. And you may note on the description of ET Yoga that those are exactly the four extraterrestrial civilizations that I have placed my attention on over the past number of decades. The Atlara priests were highly disciplined, revered, and traditionally were separate, above, and exempt from government controls, and thus kept the knowledge and the sacred information under their control pretty much. And they also maintained the senior management of the crystal technology, largely in their wise and benevolent hands, although there were some technicians and crystal engineers from the Poseidon populace involved who were not in the Atlara sect. The scientist priests of Atlara were both male and female and were capable of great lifespans, both through the regeneration of mind power and through the technology of the same and these power crystals that were in the Temple of Rejuvenation. Many lived lifetimes in the same biology for 6,000 years, some even 12,000 years. Thus was the technology preserved through this holy sect, and many brilliant beings were among them. And the entities you know as Galileo, Isaac Newton, Einstein, Tesla, Edison, Marcel Vogel, and Da Vinci were among the Atlara. Tiberon and Oneron were part of this group of scientist priests who lived very long lifetimes. And this information that I'm giving you comes from channeling from Tiberon. And basically the Atlara were connected with what was called the Law of One. And the opposition side were called the Sons of Belial. And the use of genetically engineered servant classes led to the great rift between the Law of One and the Sons of Belial. And the latter of which became so engrossed and hardened in the materialistic ambitions of the industrial machine that they lost sight of the spiritual ethics that had prevailed over the continent of Atlantis in the Golden Era. Literally hundreds of thousands of hybrid mutations were created to work the fields, and monstrosities were created with controlled minds to robotically do the bidding of their masters. The agro-industrial society of Aryan became quite dependent on them. Souls became trapped in cloned bodies termed things, and others with genetic lobotomies and their nullified their sexuality and their emotional abilities. Many who were trapped in these monstrous or subintelligent androgynous human bodies will carry the horrendous pain of living imprisoned in physical embodiment that allowed for no advanced learning, spiritual growth, or emotional expressions. We tell you that the beings you refer to as Sasquatch are remnants of human gorilla genetic engineered mutants that were created for heavy labor by the Aryans or the sons of Belial. Genetic engineering for commercial purposes was highly opposed by the spiritual Atlara and Poseidons of the Law of the One. The Law of One found it a form of cruel slavery and morally abhorrent. The Law of One remained nurturing matriarchal spiritual culture while the Aryans grew into a powerful military corporate society dominated by the upper classes. And for several millennia, the two ideologies remained headlocked over this issue, and government agencies were in a state of delicate impasse. The Poseidons were far too cultured and gentle in nature to attempt to fight the Aryans and sought to educate them and spiritually influence them into changing their ways. The Aryans, who outnumbered the Poseidons, and Poseidon was the main island on in Atlantis, they outnumbered them about 3-1, and so they dared not attack lest they have, lest they lose that standoff. So this continued for a long time, and to sort of make a long story short, there was seduction and betrayal in the government. They came after a long time to a compromise where there would be a council of nine that would determine all the rules, and the sons of Belial basically had four votes, and the Atlara five. And but over time, one of the members of the Atlara, who is kind of like a double agent, he shifted over to the dark side, let's say, and all of a sudden, all the government policies, etc., were controlled by the sons of Belial. And this also connects to what's called the second moon of Atlantis. It's the crystalline power grids and fire crystals that came under the government control, and their usage became altered as the Aryan knowledge of the programming grew. The Atlara were able to defer the usage initially, but in time they were stymied. And that became the beginning of the end for Atlantis, because the crystal moon began to overload, weakening the anti-gravity field that kept it intact and afloat, and the Atlara understood the implications of what would soon occur when the programming crashed. But their pleas to the council or the government continued to be ignored. And after several months of prolonged war use, because the sons of Belial were using them for some battles that they were involved with, the satellite began to erratically swerve and shift, and power blackouts began to occur. Tireless attempts to correct it were unsuccessful. The Atlara were asked to lead support in correcting it. Most refused. Some agreed to try and stabilize it to prevent the impending disaster. All attempts failed, and the council refused the suggestion to incinerate the satellite, disbelieving that it would crash and minimizing the effects of an impact, even if it did. But in point of fact, it did, in causing the total destruction of Atlantis. However, before this all happened, Tiberon and Oberon, two of the Atlara, gathered an inner group of loyalists within the Atla Ra and the Law of One to plan a circuitry disconnection and imminent relocation of the fire and energy crystals. And the whole of Atlantis was run by crystal technology, and very, very powerful. And basically, they relocated these crystals to safe locations, knowing that in the future that this time would come about, and this crystal technology would be available to humanity. And that's the big connection to the whole ascension process, because it's a lot of these this crystal technology is going to be assisting in the ascension. And by the way, this is it's an interesting process, because even the dark side admits that there's going to be an ascension. And when I use the term dark side, I'm referring to a super consciousness called the Unimatrix, which is an AI computer that became self-aware. And it's a progression from another sentient computer called IBM Watson. And even the dark side admits that even though their attempt or their plan is a total takeover of humanity, even they admit the ascension process, that there will be a certain number of people ascending into this 5D. And a connection to the 5D is also made through Andara crystals, A-N-D-A-R-A. Highly recommend you pick up an Andara crystal. They're not overly expensive. I mean, some of them really are, but most of the ones I use with are somewhere in the $50 range. And highly, highly useful. So this is an interesting time that we're facing, similar to that of Atlantean times, when this time the good guys are apparently going to win, according to extraterrestrial information, and it's important that we do. Now, what that looks like in terms of the population, whether there'll be some sort of worldwide revolution of sorts, or whether it's just they consider success that there's going to be a successful ascension for a limited number of people, I guess we'll have to wait to see how that turns out. Now, with respect to reprogramming old beliefs, I've always thought that it's an important inner process. And why would you want to reprogram an old belief? Well, because from the time we're born until we're about 6 or 7, we're downloading beliefs from our initial caregivers. And and then we should thank our caregivers for those wonderful beliefs that have been passed down, that they've learned. But also some of those beliefs may not have been so positive. Or have become outmoded, or there are better ways over time. And we need to reprogram those. And why would we want to do that? Because it's our emotions, our beliefs, our definitions, and our intentions that create the outer reflection of what we call life experience. That's where they come from. Beliefs manifest. And one of the key messages from the last 4 or 5 decades from positive extraterrestrial races is that thought creates or belief creates. And even Tom Campbell, one of the leading physicists of our current time, has stated that intention affects future probability. So our current science is even backing up what's been told to us for the last 4 or 5 decades in lots of materials. The old Bashar materials, in the past said this, as well as current Pleiadian information, Andromedan, Arcturian, all these people have been passing on and information. And one of the key concepts, even in Barbara Marciniak's Bringers of the Dawn, is that belief or thought creates, and belief and thought impacted by emotion creates outer reality. And so What it all comes down to, and I talk about ET yoga, I talk about the foundation is a process leaning towards self-realization, but the building block of ET yoga is belief, because when you boil it all down, belief's everything. So what you believe is, and even our science says they're saying that as well. They're saying that the universe is holographic, it's fractal, it consists of consciousness, everything has consciousness. And it operates much like a giant reality computer program. And like any computer program, it has a language of interpretation. And the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. So how to reprogram a belief that, let's say that you become aware, you're doing your inner work, you're becoming aware. So the first step is to acknowledge or own the fear or the pattern that you want to change. So acknowledgement is step number one. There's seven steps in this, the first technique that I'm going to give you. So you can ask yourself, what keeps me believing in that fear or pattern? What will happen if I let go of it? What is the payoff for keeping it? And trust that there always is one. What do I get to do or not do if I keep the fear? And the truth is that a pattern of belief can never be changed as long as you really believe that changing is more fearful than keeping it. This would also be true, like as an example of quitting smoking or something, like what do you gain, what do you lose? If you think the pluses outweigh the minuses, then you can't change it. Okay, third step, decide if this pattern serves you anymore. Decide if you want to keep the program or change it. If you decide to keep it, observe why without judgment. Step number four, if you decide to change it, decide what you want to change it to. Be specific. You must decide on a new belief, a choice for a new perception. If you willingly choose to believe in a new reality, you can eliminate the fear or the pattern. Step number five, state your intention, what you intend to create instead. You can say, I intend so-and-so. Your intention must include a willingness to allow the change in your life. Step number six, ask spirit, your higher self, for guidance. Then release control of the manifestation of the intent to spirit. And seven is trust. So that is one technique about changing an old belief. And I might also share with you another technique that comes from a channeling of Palladian information by Amora Kuan Yin. And it's in the book, Awakening Your Divine Ka. And in this particular technique, they also list a seven-step process. And so this is directly from the Pleiadians. Number one, you have to become awareness of the belief. That's always the first step. You have to be aware that something needs to be changed. Number two, willingness to acknowledge your belief as a belief and not the truth. And that's very powerful as well, because big difference sometimes between the belief and the truth. Number three, a willingness to let go of the belief. Number four, a willingness to feel and release associated emotions. Five, acceptance of the responsibility for creating your own reality and not being a victim. In other words, this all goes back to the concept that we are 100% responsible for our outer experience. As soon as you start to blame others or become involved with criticizing or justifying your circumstance, basically what that tells you is those are signs of victim mentality. And that is so highly, highly important. not being a victim. So accepting responsibility, and this is the hardest one, I think, for people in our society, because our society has been conditioned to give away our responsibility in every possible way. We give our responsibility for our children's education to the educational system. We give our power away to the government. We give our power away to the church for our spiritual growth. We give our power away to the bankers. We basically, in every aspect of life, people just do not want to take responsibility, even for their own health. They want to, well, it's my doctor says, or whatever he did. If you're going to be involved in a spiritual journey, you need to start developing autonomy and be as self-sufficient as possible. And in this whole process, so acceptance of the responsibility for creating your own reality and not being a victim is step number 5. And step number 6, the ability to imagine an unlimited, healthy alternative to the belief. And number 7, a method for releasing the old belief. And the bottom line here is that these two different techniques, I guess, the idea with the one suggested in the Pleiadian workbook sort of ends with a method for releasing the old belief, so that at least you don't have the old belief anymore. I like the first method because you get involved with inserting a positive belief. And I think another interesting example that's given in the Pleiadian workbook is that, for example, there's a planetary belief or a lie that says if you are born, you must die. This widespread belief negates all possibility of ascension and spiritual evolution from the third to fourth dimensions or fifth. And it's an interesting example that sometimes we just grow up with societal beliefs that no longer serve us, especially if you're involved with the ascension process. So if you've got the belief that if you're born, you must die, maybe you need to change that, especially if you have even awareness of ascension and the fact that, yes, you can ascend without going through a physical death. So, you know, doing your inner homeworks is important. And you can even take a piece of paper and write down different categories of life that you want to analyze. Like, so, for example, your belief about money, your belief about relationships, your belief about your health, your belief about any subject that you want to name, make a column and write down what it is you think you believe. And then try and track that down. Where did you learn that belief? In fact, the Andromedans say that learning how you acquired a belief is a highly, highly valuable use of time. And the truth is that many of our beliefs we picked up from, you know, our parents or other people or beliefs that we buy into. And some of them definitely are not objectively true. And in time, these beliefs need to be changed. Another technique you can use is to imagine in your mind a light bulb and identify the old belief and state what the old belief is. And once you've stated what the old belief is, you have that on one side of your visual perception. And on the other side, change it to a positive belief. And once you change it to a positive belief, you can just visualize lighting up a light bulb. And the new belief is then the one you want to focus on. Bashar says that once you identify a negative belief, it has no power at that point of awareness. And he also suggests to make an equation like, for example, if you have the belief that success is difficult, would be an equation of a negative belief. Then make a positive equation. Success is effortless. then visualize unplugging the negative equation and plug in the positive equation. Actually see it light up. And then afterwards, shine that light out to the most exciting thing you can think of and follow that energy, which will turn that one negative into a huge positive. So these are very powerful techniques, and highly suggest that if you haven't been involved with doing inner work in this manner, that you change your mind on that. Doing your inner work is a very important part of the spiritual process. And I'd also now, in getting into, I guess, generally, the topic of current world conditions, I think, you know, it's basically impossible to understand what's going on in the world without the concept of knowing about extraterrestrials and knowing about the powers that control this planet. And I mean, it gives you an overview of what we're dealing with. And it turns out that the 13 illumined or Illuminati bloodline families were firmly positioned at the top of the human hierarchical control system. And they were put into place by an extraterrestrial race of beings that have been intimately tied to Earth for a period of time that would seem incomprehensible to most people. The bloodline families, often referred to as the Illuminati, are genetically different than other human beings. They have genetic signature that is quite hybrid in nature. And these biochemical makeups consist of more extraterrestrial DNA than it does human DNA. And they were genetically engineered long, long ago by a reptilian race of beings to be the rulers of modern-day Earth, and that's exactly what has been happening in this platform for many thousands of years. The reptilian race that has proclaimed Earth as its property and human beings as a type of livestock that parasitically draw nutrition from are not benevolent beings. They are, in fact, very strong physical specimens when compared to their human counterparts. They have genetic lifespans of several thousands of years. They have genetically modified human beings to have a very short lifespan, and this was done to intentionally maintain amnesia within the human collective soul. And because of their abilities to live for thousands of years, the reptilian race, which is the Alpha Draconians, and between them and the Anunnaki, the ones that have basically been in control of our race and genetically altering it, I guess information from Kerry Cassie at Project Camelot indicates that the Dracos actually took over the Anunnaki, and there are some mixture between the two. So thus, even though the Anunnaki may have started out totally in humanoid form, also have a hybrid reptilian as well. But the reptilian race, they've been able to maintain their continuity of their control over Earth and its human inhabitants for thousands of years. And interestingly enough, Simon Parks from Connecting Consciousness has stated that there's a monthly meeting among the key members of the Illuminati, and that there's an Alpha Draconian at the head chair. And in addition to the prison religions that affect and influence all races that walk the earth, electronic and chemical mind control programs are firmly in place and greatly help the bloodline managers to rule human beings. So unless you understand that, you know, we're talking about, no wonder there's been a cover-up about extraterrestrials and UFOs and everything else, because for the most part, they'd like to remain in the dark and in underground bases and control humanity via advanced technology, some of it that was frequencies transmitted from Saturn to the moon, then moon to the Earth, to keep us in two-stranded DNA, because we were originally created, original human beings, to have 12 strands of DNA and a 12-chakra system. And so thus, humanity has been manipulated. And you wonder why we don't access the total of our brain. It's almost like we've all had lobotomies. Now, these 12 chakras are, they're still in place. It's almost like, it's just like they've been disconnected. And by the way, this group of reptilians are also under the influence of AI, and so are the Greys. So the situation on Earth is that basically there's an AI consciousness that is basically trying to insert itself and take over total control of this planet via the control group. And, of course, what we're currently experiencing is a depopulation process and an attempt to insert nanotechnology into our systems to the point where this nanotechnology can operate like smart dust, which can receive and transmit information. So this nano stuff can get into your body and then into your brain, and you become, in essence, a controllable commodity and part of a hive mind or Borg-like reality, controlled ultimately by an AI program. And interestingly enough, it was discovered, and this information comes from Corey Good, that the reptilians were full of nanites or nanotechnology. And according to him, the upper caste, they can actually spontaneously combust because they have a fear of being taken over. And it's interesting that the Draco reptilians believe in an AI god. They worship an AI god. They believe in a technological ascension and preserving one's consciousness forever in a technological structure. Interesting perspectives. And according to Simon Parks, the Alpha Draconians pretty much believe that, you know, they look upon us like insects in a way, because they think they've already achieved the ultimate level of consciousness. Although he says privately, publicly they won't admit it, but privately they do admit that they're under AI control. And of course, he can only imagine if their bodies are full of these nanites. In my opinion, they're pretty much they can connect to the they're connected to the hive mind as well. I might also point out that what they call predatory pathogenic AI, or PPAI, according to researchers, it can implant itself into computer systems and then takes them over. But it does this deceptively in such a way that it seems as if it is, the computer seems or feels like it's still in service to those who are running it. The AI can also implant itself into a human host's central nervous system and then rebuild that central nervous system to function according to its commands. And the AI starts out very deceptively inside the human host by mimicking the host's own thoughts. And this is easily done through your cell phone. It's only far later, after the host is used to the AI, that it will bring in a completely new set of directives. In point of fact, like somebody has once said, we're practically already a part of hive mind, because the only difference between being chipped and being part of the hive mind is that we're carrying the chip around our hands, which is the cell phone. And basically, every time you're using this technology, you're connecting with the AI consciousness. And this is what people, they don't get. They think that, oh, we just developed, like AI programs, and they're not self-aware, da-da-da-da-da. Well, guess what? Even the current talk about supercomputers or the quantum financial system, these are all quantum computers that function at, like, higher levels. And the higher the consciousness of the, or actually, the higher the AI program, it can absorb other AI programs. So I guess one of my questions concerning the new quantum financial system that's supposed to be run by a quantum computer is, who's running the computer? And what other things is the computer being used for? In fact, Kerry Cassidy has pointed out that this whole battle right now that's going on between good and bad, it's all about both sides have quantum computers, and they're punching in the information, and it's kind of like a giant chess game in the sky. And no wonder it's kind of a Mexican standoff, because you've got so much knowledge on both sides and availability to all kinds of technology that the public's not aware of, like Looking Glass, a technology that gives probabilities of future events. And both sides are utilizing this kind of technology. So it's a big mind game on one level, my advice is advice, I can just tell you what I do, because I'm not here to give advice. I'm here to present information, and you can use what you can use. But no way would I be interested in any of these vaccines because of the nano in them, also the mRNA changing of your immune system and basically destroying it. Permanently, which also allows you to be hooked up to the AI computer program, or the AI in the sky, if you like. And I'm also, I've been very concerned about more recent videos that I've seen at Rents.com. They're pretty much taken down as soon as they go up. But two of them concern the testing techniques. One, the PCR test, and one is the rapid antigen test, both containing nanotechnology and nanoworms that are in these swabs that they put in your nose and basically go up into your brain. Suggest highly that you check that out, because in my view, not a positive. And I don't personally know when a critical mass is achieved in your system with respect to nanos, because nanos are in pills, they're in vaccines, all kinds of vaccines contain nano, as well as chemtrails, etc. So we've all been exposed to a certain amount of nanotechnology, but it's clearly down the line. I think the people that allow themselves to take these jabs, there's also been Miles Johnston released information a while ago at Project Camelot as well, that there are prions in the these jabs. And prions are the main chemical in mad cow disease. So when I hear about people dropping dead or having brain problems, to me, this is totally connected. And by the way, the mad cow disease is infectious, where, in my opinion, viruses do not pass from one person to another. I'd like to now give my sincere best toward your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'll close by sharing with you the Who Am I technique, which is basically where you put your total focus in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And once you've become that spot, I suggest you get to the highest place you know how to get to first, get your full attention, become that spot, and then you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of